We are at the Mishnah on Samach Dalet Amud Beis.
Everybody bashes Rambam for his philosophy, but he's very much in the tradition of Rav Sadia Gaon.
Yeah, okay.
Who nobody bashes, they just ignore.
Hamotzi Meifat Tchila. Those who take out the deceased body first, meaning did not know. What does that mean?
It says here, he finds a corpse in a particular place for the first time. And then the note is, while digging, he discovered a corpse, and it's the first time a corpse was discovered in this location.
So hamotze is that he finds it, not that he took it out. Okay, that makes more sense. Hamotze meis batzchila, mushkav tikidarko, if he was just laying like a regular corpse. So notlo v'yes tfusaso, he can take it out, basically. What's estfusaso?
With the earth under.
Okay. Shnayim.
I guess because of concerns maybe about pieces of the body that, you know, corpse that have fallen off and things. So you're removing some of the earth with it.
There's no concern this area is a cemetery, and therefore the corpse may not be moved. Nor does one take into account the possibility of another.
Is it saying this is what you should do?
The Gemara is going to say how much earth needs to be removed.
Okay, so this is the type of thing where it's like you should do this. When you find a body, you should take the surrounding dirt. Is that what it's asked? Is that what it's saying? No, slow has to go. It's like you should.
The word here that's used is may, not just may remove.
So what's the thought that you wouldn't be allowed here?
He removes it. He removes it as if
that's what you should.
The corpse acquires its place by rabbinic decree. It's not moved from its burial site. It's assumed that this corpse is buried here on a temporary basis with the intention.
Okay, the Gemara is going to talk about it.
For this reason, it can be transferred to a cemetery.
Right. Let's talk about it in the Gemara. No slovias tvusaso shnayim. If there's only one person, if there are two people, two corpses. No slovias tvusaso. He can move both of them. Yeah, I guess the thought is that you would not be allowed to reinter a body that you find buried. And now we're saying you can, assuming you...
I'm also wondering if maybe it's, if you find one or you find two, then you probably only found one or two.
Right.
Once you're up to three, like
right. Three is a crowd. This is a cemetery.
Well, don't remove these bodies because you didn't find a body. You found a cemetery.
Right. Okay, good. So Mata Shloshim Yesh Bein Zelazem Arba Amos V'Ad Shmona. Meaning if they span a larger surface area. Or a larger area in the field, so the Hareza Shchunas Kvaros, that's actually a cemetery, and you cannot take them out. You can't just, you know, flippantly reenter or exhume bodies. So Amar of Hamnuna, is this still the Mishnah?
Yes. No. There's more to the Mishnah. Bodek,
Imanu.
Bodek, Imanu.
Oh, okay. Wait. Oh, I'm trying to figure out where the words of the page are. And it's because I have four diagrams on this page that just don't tell me anything about the Mishnah. Okay, this is some kind of commentary about how to measure the four amos in between. Let's keep seeing. Bodek Hemenu. If you checked from the corpse, Ulahalan Estrim Amma, and to each in each direction is 20 amos. Right, so you found one body, and then you're looking 20 amos this way, 20 amos that way. And Masa Echad Besof Estrim Amma, and you find one corpse at the end of those 20 amos. Bodek Himenu Lahalan Estrim Amma, then you look again in all directions from that corpse for 20 amos. So then. Sheraglaim Ladavar.
My impression,
if you find again after that,
my impression here is if you found one, you can move it. If you found two, you can
move
them. If you found three, then you go through this procedure.
Right. The question is, in what proximity do the three have to be? And that's what we're trying to figure out with the 20 amos here.
Are we looking for a fourth, though? Are we looking for a fourth?
I don't see any fourth here.
I know, but we've already found a third.
Yeah.
Now we're going to our examination. I already found a third before I get to this bedika.
No, I don't think so. I think Matza Echad B'Sof Esrim Amma is referring to if you find only one grave, you have to look 20 amos in each direction after the first one.
Okay, yeah.
Before you inter the first one.
The note here says that if one finds three corpses lying in the usual manner for burial, which necessitates the examination of 20 cubits, and then he finds another body at the end of 20 cubits.
Mm-hmm. That's the... So
this applies only after you find three buried in the usual manner. The usual manner is going to be 4 to 8 cubits. That's the standard design.
Mm-hmm.
The usual is...
Maybe tomorrow I'll talk about all this.
It's possible.
Yeah, I don't know if we want
to... Let's see.
...to get bogged down.
I hear you. Okay. Sure, the lion was ever. Okay, so basically, so maybe in like what Dave is saying, maybe it means that once you find three, so then you have to have extra
three
care.
Four cubits, you go
on. 4 to 8 cubits, so then you have to actually create a radius of, you know, unburied bodies or dirt without buried bodies in order to then use the dirt or to allow yourself to do something in those lands. Because if you would have found this, you would have been fine because you wouldn't be able, if this was the first body you found, so then you would not have to go another 20 amos. You just say, okay, it was only one body. But now that you found multiple, you already found three, and that's considered a graveyard. You have to worry for other ones. So that's why you have to look 20 amos around each grave at that point. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, matza prat l'matzoi. Matza, the word in our Mishnah was motzei, but matza means you found it as opposed to that which you already knew about. Meaning you knew there's a guy's grave in your backyard, so then you're not allowed to move it. You're not allowed to move that at all. If you find one, so then you'd be able to move it. But if you knew there was one there, you can't move it in the first place. So the word mace, prat laharug, mace implies someone who had passed, but not someone who was killed. Presumably because that wasn't really a grave. I don't know. Mushkaf prat liyoshev. If you find that, this is a lot of very specific drushes from the Mishnah. It's not a pasuk. But the Mishnah said, if it was laying down in a regular manner, the corpse, so that's when you would take the dirt out and whatever. Probably Yoshev, if you found the deceased in a sitting position.
Yes.
I'm not, okay. So then...
The Jews are not usually buried in that
right,
position.
Is anyone ever buried like that? But either way, maybe mummies or something. But you'd be allowed to move the body without the surrounding dirt. And it would not create a graveyard status. Kidarko, Pradler Sherosho Munach Ben Yerechosav. Again, if the corpse is in a unique position where the head is between the legs, so then that would not be considered a graveyard. It would not be required to take the dirt with it. Tani Ula Bar Chanina Meis Shechaser Ein Lo Tfusa. If there is a corpse which does not have a full body, so then you do not take the dirt with it. Velo Shchunas Kvaros, and it's not doesn't create a graveyard. V'chohani My Time Alo. Why not? Amrina Dilma Oved Kochavim Hu. Maybe they're non-Jews, because this is not a typical way in which you bury a Jew. Okay, good. Therefore, we're not going to be more machmir about all these, you know, aspects of removing a dead body or creating the status of a graveyard, because the tumah is not the same ramification. So matashnayim, if you found two corpses, rosho shelzeh b'tzad margolosav shelzeh, rosho shelzeh b'tzad margolosav shelzeh, ein lehem tvusa v'losh chunas kvaros. Again, I assume, because of the irregularity of how these bodies were buried, you could assume they're not Jewish, that the head is by the feet of the other. I don't know exactly how this is possible. Are they sort of just backwards?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay. It's not like head to tail. It's more side to side. But in the Jewish cemetery, all the bodies are lined up in the same direction.
Canaanite burials.
Okay.
In those other positions.
Interesting. So Matzah Shlosha, that also precludes the Jewish status of the corpse, and therefore the concept of Tfusa Shchunas Kleros. Matzah Shlosha, Ha'echad Yiduo Shnayim Tchila. If you found three, one of them was already known from beforehand, and then you found another two. we had said that if you already knew about it, you're not allowed to exhume it entirely. So I don't know how you found the other two, but I guess you never moved the first. But now you found the other two you did not know about. Oh, echad tchila that you didn't know about. Ushnaim you do. I mean, two that you did know about. So yesh lem tfusa v'ein lem shchunas kvaros. You do consider it to be, for the newer corpses, you do consider it the corpses to have the concept of tfusa, that you take out the dirt, but you do not consider it to be a shchunas kvaros with all three of those, because one of them you already knew about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's an interesting one, because it basically assumes that the one or two that you knew about was proper, and the other ones that you didn't know about are improper because you didn't know about them. Just the fact that you didn't know about them is enough to say this was not necessarily a graveyard, which is interesting, just because you didn't know about them. If it was a graveyard, you would have known about those two, maybe you could say like that. Mas Rebbe Yeshiva, Shabbat HaKamata Shnayim Yiduim Ve'achat Tchila Uvei Shlata Shkunas Kvaros. Rebbe Yeshiva wanted to disagree with this concept and say that no, even though I knew about one of them, he knew about two of them, and one of them he didn't know, right? He was the first to know about it. He still nonetheless wanted to make it into a graveyard status. Amar Rebbe Yeshiva, everything you just worked for is entirely pointless. Lo amru shchunas kvaros el l'shloshi you do it. Because we only, what? Oh, shlosha tchila. Oh, you have to have created three, you have to have known about it, three corpses already from the beginning, or that you found three corpses.
For the first time,
yeah, which you did not know about from beforehand. But if the three is achieved through a mix of knowing and unknowing, so that's not going to create a graveyard. Again, because it's not to say that this was deliberately placed. If you didn't know about anything, so then fine. But if you knew about some of it and not the other ones, so it could very well be that the ones you knew about was a proper graveyard, and the ones you didn't know about were actually, you know, were flukes or whatever. They're not supposed to be there. So no tzlan of yes tfusasan. This is if you find two bodies. You can take the bodies and the dirt. So hechi dami tfusa. What is the case of taking the dirt? Hechidami. How is it? Hechidami. Here the Gemara, my Gemara says that it's asking from where, which is what the Gemara is going to say.
It says here, this is a somewhat atypical use of the phrase hechidami.
Thank you.
No, I could see from your
that's very validating.
Which normally constitutes a question concerning the nature of a case or situation.
Okay, there you go. Thank
the
you.
Second you said that, I was like, ooh, this yeah. note, I think, may help the
right. Right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, so usually hechidami means like, how'd you do it? Or how's the situation? Here it's asking, from where? Like, mehecha. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Kra, the Pasuk tells us, by Yaakov telling his sons, or Yosef specifically, how he wants to be buried in Baras Machpelah, and the pasuk says Unisasani Mimitzrayim, you know, and to bring thee up from Egypt. Unisasani Mimitzrayim, and carry me from Egypt. Why is that so unnatural? Why is that so abnormal?
Because the mention of Egypt seems superfluous.
Oh, okay, you should say Unisasani, just bring me up. So therefore, Mimitzrayim means take from Mitzrayim also, tol imi. Bring from Mitzrayim with me. Unisasani Mimitzrayim.
It's a stretch, but
that's a tough one. Yeah, okay. Either way, also interesting to note that we're learning from Yaakov Avinu, which is Primatan Torah, but we do actually learn some halachos of burial from Yaakov. So that in some ways also...
We don't learn it from Yosef, because in Yosef's case, it's...
They embalmed him in
his bones.
Right. Yeah, Yosef was... And Yosef generally was a unique burial, right? They embalmed him, and then they put him in the Nile, didn't they?
Well, that's
a measure, anyway. Okay, but we don't have as explicit of a procedure with Yosef's burial than we do with Yaakov. So the kamashir tusa, and how much you have to take off or take with the body. So perish Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadok, notel afar tichoach.
Interesting that they're using Yaakov, because Yaakov was never buried there.
He was buried in Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean?
Correct. So it makes it sound like he was first buried in Egypt.
I hear what you're saying. That's interesting. That is interesting. Right. Meaning everything we've talked about thus far has been where a body was buried in the ground. Now when you take the body out, you got to take the surrounding dirt with it. Yaakov never had that situation. They took Yaakov straight to, at least from our indications, they took Yaakov straight. But we're learning from the words in Nisasani Mimitzrayim that take Mitzrayim with me. I think the point is that the way that my Gemara explains it here, which is based on a Sefer Leket HaKotrim, Yaakov is preemptively telling this to Yosef. If they bury me in Egypt, so then bring me out of Egypt with the dirt of Egypt. It didn't happen that way, but that's what Yaakov was thinking was going to happen. Okay, which is even more interesting. We're learning from the words of Yaakov, not from the actual situation of Yaakov. The Kamashir Tifusa, so Perish Rabbi Elazar, Noto Afar Tichuach, all of the, what is it, the loose sand, the loose dirt?
Soft dirt.
The Chofer Bibisula. And then you should...
Virgin, uncultivated, virgin ground.
What is it? What does that mean?
Virgin ground with it.
You mean the stuff that they didn't originally bury him with?
Right.
Meaning it was the ground that they had not...
by the burial, just right. Like a little margin, if you will.
The undisturbed soil.
Right, so they used up until here for the actual original burial, so go a little further than that. I assume that's sort of like a safeguard type of thing.
The three fingers is the depth to which the secretions from the decay of the body seeps into the ground.
Okay.
It could have extended more.
Oh, it's depth?
You were talking depth.
Oh, down, I didn't get that.
Down to all the loose stuff, and after you get to the loose stuff, take three more.
So do we say that it doesn't extend to the horizontally?
It's vertical.
It's only vertical.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Right. No, I guess it makes sense if we're talking about sort of...
you would take the loose dirt on the sides. You take the loose dirt on the sides, and then the secretions would go down.
Right. Because of gravity, you think that they go deeper than usual. Okay. So, Mesevei. The Gemara asks the Kavacher Tusa, Perish Rebbe, Elazar, Rebbe, Sadek, Notos, HaKesmil. Casemen are the pieces of the casket that he was buried in. Vesaksasos, and the, what does that mean?
Clumps of earth
that are underneath.
It says you're formed by the mixing of dirt with secretions from the corpse.
Uh-huh, okay.
In other words,
same
you know that there's tuma in the...
Right, or parts of the body.
Yeah.
Vezorikas havadain, and then you throw away?
You throw away what's certainly not from the body and doesn't contaminate.
Okay, meaning you can throw away the pieces, I have here the pieces of the aron itself, and the other clumps of dirt that are not from the body.
It says here he takes the scares that are certainly not from the corpse, e.g. stones.
Oh, stones, okay.
Like wood, what you were finding before is like wood chips that might have been part of the casket.
Right. We know that's for sure not part of the body. And we're not worried about the secretions being inside of them. But the other parts that could have been infused with the body. So then you should, or that they are body, so then you should bring them to the new place. Vashar, and the rest of it, which is definitely from the mace, Mistari Flerov Binano Shal Mace, Flerov Atamos. We will consider it to be part of the body that would contribute to the size of giving over tuma. Meaning, right, as we said in the past, you need most of the bones. So that, and limlo tarvad rakav. Right, which was like the ladle. Right, so you're exhuming the body, and then you, through all the pieces of it, you're trying to create the, you're trying to sort of cross the threshold of tuma, the size that would give over tuma. And that's a ladle's worth. Okay. So this is one, this is just one brisa, which implies that we're not looking at the dirt around the body in the same way that we just quoted from Rabbi Elazar. So Gemara says, yeah, because who the Amar Ki Hayitana? Because that is going based on a different brisa. The time of the commentary to us, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nazai, Notel Afar Tzicho Achofar Bevsua Shalosh Hashbos. Meaning, yes, there are two different opinions about how to do it, and therefore the fact that we are quoting the Afar Tichoa from a different brisa does not contradict with the other brisa, because brisas are allowed to disagree with each other. Okay. Bode Kemenu, you should look 20 amos after finding three graves. Look 20 amos in all directions, like David had said before. So Amareva, Badakupina, Badak Ba'ashka. If you had checked, found the corpse, took it out, and then checked again, found another corpse, took it out, and then badak va'ashkach, then you found the third, and you know you were digging again, you found the third, so then it would have been the case that you would keep all three there. So lo hai mefani le gabe hanach trei, you're not allowed to move the third anymore, because clearly this was a grave. Rever lo hani trei le gabe hayachad. And you're also not allowed, or you're not obligated, to bring the other two back to the one. It's kind of interesting, why not? I guess you had the allowance to move them, but now that they're buried again, you can't move them back. So once you were given the allowance to move the first two, so he's also allowed to, lahon is an interesting word. Lahon usually refers to plural, but here it's referring to the third one. You could take this one and bring it to the other two. Because right now you only have one sitting there, and that's not a graveyard. Says Gemara, Uvilisha Vinhu, Shchunas Kvaros. Why don't we assume that it is a graveyard, and therefore you're not allowed to move anything at all, according to Reva? So Amar Shlakish, Ila Matsu Vityaru Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean?
They found a pretext and deemed Eretz Yisrael ritually pure. Since at that point there was just one corpse, the sages were lenient, weren't concerned about any further impurity. They wanted to avoid uncertain impurity because people are careful to observe the halachot of ritual purity in Eretz Yisrael, and additional cases of uncertain impurity would be complicated to observe.
Uh-huh. So they were in Eretz Yisrael specifically, they had some kind of very lenient approach to not assume that things are graveyards for the sake of the general tahara of the land. Okay. Interesting. And we're not going to assume there are other bodies around those, where those were, those bodies were. Okay, so you looked 20 amos around, you didn't find anything, so what did you do? So then Amarav Menash, by Yirmiyam, Amarav, it's still considered a graveyard, even if he didn't find any more around them. So my time of Rishon Yishal Alamat Zvetir Yisrael. What? That doesn't make sense over there. Yeah. Rav is being Machmir and Rish Lakish is a Mekil, so it doesn't make sense that was coming to explain Rav.
It's a graveyard, so therefore we can't move them, but we don't go looking for more.
Right, you can move them out, but you don't have to look for more. Yeah, okay. You're saying that's how you explain Rish Lakish?
This is three corpses compose a graveyard, and there's no concern for others. The lawyer asks, what's the reason for this ruling? As there no concern, there might be more corpses. Once again, Reish Lakish said they found a pretext and deemed the Eretz Yisrael ritually pure.
Uh-huh. Oh, so there is another opinion that says that this does belong here, in which case it justifies not continuing to look.
Even though you're not going to move these three, because...
Right. They are a graveyard, and therefore you have to consider the whole place a graveyard, but you don't have to look for the graves. Says the Mishnah, that has nothing to do with Nazir. I mean, it does, because it's talking about dead bodies, but we never mentioned the word Nazir that entire time. Says the Mishnah, second Mishnah on Das, on the Amud here, Kol Tzavik Negayim Batzchilat Tzar, that anyone who has the first sightings of Tzaras, so you're still considered a Tzar, in its until perfect Ashlan is Kaklatima, assuming that he hadn't had any tzaras beforehand. Mishanizkak Latuma, however, if he had already had tzaras, and then another one comes, so then Sveklatama, we're going to consider it. How do we know? Amr Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Kra, Latara, O Latamo, Holofasa, Kazavatara, Tchila. Latara, and then Latamo, implying that we're going to assume that he's tower until he's proven tummy. Yehachiatu Mishanizkak Sveklatama, if he had already been tummy beforehand, so then we should still consider this new thing. This new teras, we should also consider that to be tahor based on the pasuk. Alakiyitz from Rav Yehuda Marav, aha, it's Mar. When Rav Yehuda Marav said his statement, he was really referring to the following halacha: Im baheres kadmel seir lavan tame, im seir lavan kodem lebaheres tahor. If the I just translate baheres, the splotch,
snow white,
but that's the seir lavan. You're saying that baheres is what?
Snow white, leprous. Sore.
The sore. Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Here means to shine, right?
I guess that's true. Okay. So it's like changing color. Or it's, coming out. Okay. So if the sore comes before the white hair, so then it's tame. If the white hair comes before the sore, so then tower. Safek, if you don't know which one came first, so then tame. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Keha. Where is my Keha? What are you talking about? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Keha V'tahor. In the case of the suffix, it's as if it's weak, and therefore we're going to consider it sour. Vidilma keha v'tame. Maybe what it means is that it's v'machmer, when Rabbi Yeshua said this. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Kra l'tare l'tamo, chol pasach bo vachgas v'tare tzchila. Meaning the default is that he is going to be tahor until proven tame.
I like this. Come up with an obscure word and leave everybody puzzled.
Yeah, cheha. I now declare cheha. See you later. Yeah. They say about the Kutzker Rebbe, he used to do that. He used to come out of his room, say some kind of cryptic statement, and then all of a sudden he would figure out what he's trying to talk about. Yeah. Says the Mishnah, B'shiva Durachim Bot Kines Hazav. In seven different ways, I guess now we're just talking about Tuma stuff. In seven different ways, you check the Zav. The Zav being someone who has an emission of some kind. What?
Gonorrhea-like discharge.
Some kind of discharge. So you're trying to figure out whether or not it's a Zav discharge. So what are these things? So Achlo Nizkak Ziva, assuming that you're not yet a Zav already. B'machal v'mishdeh, check what he ate and drank. If he had too much, so it could be that the discharge came because of that. B'masa, what he carried, if he carried heavy things. Uvekfitza, if he jumped a lot, he went to a trampoline place recently. Uvecholi, if he was sick somehow. Uvemaria, and if...
Well, sick is right.
Uvemaria just means he saw a woman.
Sight and thought.
A religious.
He was aroused by the sight or the thoughts of Herhor?
Aroused by the sight of some woman or by thinking of one.
Yeah, okay. So if any of those things happened beforehand, so then he's not going to be considered a Zav. He might be considered other things, but he's not considered a Zav. Okay, Misha Nizkak Laziva, however, if he was already a Zav from beforehand, without something that caused it, Ain Boskino, so that we don't even check, we just assume, because the halacha is onso usfeko v'shichva zaro temeim shereglaim odavar. Even if it was something which caused it the third time, meaning two times he was already established as a zav, and now if the third time it comes from one of these seven things, or if we don't know, maybe it came from one of these seven things, or somehow his, you know, his semen is on the outside. So then he's going to be considered tamei, because it's already a reglaim ledavar. Something already started to assume that he was already a zav. Hamakas chaverav amaduhu lemisa. If somebody hit his friend, and we established that he was going to die, the hekel mimashaya, and then he got a little bit better. But then he got worse and died. So then a chay of misa, right? We assume that the guy is liable for that, even though he got better in the middle. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Pater Sher Glaim Ladavar, we can say that he's Pater from killing the person because it had already started, his innocence had already started from before.
It's wildly out of context.
Yeah, it was just Glaim Ladavar, that concept of starting on a certain path.
Right.
Can continue after. All right, we'll pick up with the Gemara Mir Sashem.
With the examining the